Yeah. Well, thank you, Todd. Yeah, that was the highlight of my very brief basketball career. On December 21st of 2016, my wife looked at me and told me she was done and she wanted a divorce. And that was the seminal pivot point of my life. In an instant, I was broken, feeling all the weight of the consequences of my actions or inactions theretofore. And it was a profound pain and suffering, and in an instant I felt like my life was in tatters. But even more than that, I felt like, you know, those of you who know me know that I have the gift of gab. You know, put me in a cocktail party conversation, I can work a room with the best of them. It's what I was made for. But for 36 years, I'd lived my life to that extent where I had relationships miles wide, but no more than an inch deep. And in that instance, when she said she was done, the bottom fell out and I didn't have anything. It was a chasm like I'd never experienced. Now, gentlemen, I know that in a room of this size and those who are online, I am not trying to compare my story to others. I know there are stories of more devastation and heartache and hurt and suffering. I am not trying to compare in one bit. I'm simply sharing my story. And in this story, I was as broken and devastated as I know how to have been. When I was 18 years old at the University of Florida, I accepted Christ in the bowels of the Sigma Chi fraternity house. And I know that at that time I accepted Christ into my heart and received the deposit of the Holy Spirit. And my faith was a very important piece of my life, but it was just that. It was just a piece. And as I continued through adulthood, that piece simply got smaller and smaller to where it was basically non-existent. But as I look back now in that moment of despair, I somehow received the gift of faith where, having absolutely nothing else, because everything in my life seemed to have been ripped away, I went running to and I clung to Christ because I felt like I had nothing else. And I realize now that that was such a gift that I could have gone deep down this valley into some dark places. And as I look back now on the trial that has been the last 5+ years of my life, I recognize how many gifts I've received. Maybe first and foremost was the gift that was the presence of my Heavenly Father. Right after this happened, I was led to a men's group, some of who the men are here today. And my first time there, I spoke to a guy who'd been through a divorce, had a very similar story, and we immediately got together. And upon 30 seconds of us meeting at the Starbucks on West Paces and Northside, we're both in tears weeping. And he says something to me that could have been construed as being trite, but he said, "I'm almost envious of you because you're so intimate with the Lord right now. You can feel His pulse." And it was so true. That despite this pain and heartache that I'd never experienced before, the Lord was with me. I was living out this Psalm 23 experience where I found myself in the deepest, darkest valley of shadow of death that I'd ever could have imagined. And the Lord showed up and He was with me. And He didn't magically remove me from my circumstances. He didn't change. He didn't answer the prayers of change that I wanted. But He came and He sat with me in the dark and the despair and the sadness. He showed up, His rod and His staff. They comforted me. I did not fear despite the evil that was going on around me. He began restoring my soul. He filled me with goodness and mercy and surrounded me with His love. I think in all of our lives, we will all have different intimate experiences with our Almighty God. And so I share this simply as a witness to what happened to me, as I know all of you will likely have encounters with the Lord that I'd be envious of. But I share this simply to give testimony to how our God is a living and active God. But there was a night, months later, as I was dealing with some terrific torment and visions and weeping. And the visions continued and the weepings just increased. And all I wanted to do was fall asleep to make it stop. And I couldn't. And the visions got worse and the weeping got worse. And I felt like there was physically something about to happen. And I was told after the fact I was likely on the verge of a panic attack, which would have been really bad by myself in this crappy little garage apartment where I was living. But throughout this time, I was praying, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. Please, please. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I realized I was praying the wrong prayer. And my prayer changed to, God, be with me. I can't do this by myself. Please be with me. And gentlemen, as real as I'm standing here in front of you today, the Almighty and Eternal God of the universe showed up in that garage apartment. And He revealed the tiniest, most minuscule little sliver of Himself. And it's the most wondrous, marvelous, majestic, awesome, powerful God that we could ever imagine. And the torrent of His unrelenting love for us is so profound. And I got to see that because my Father loves me. Our Father loves us. He was fulfilling the promise that He made through James, where if we draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to us. The other gift that I received was the presence of others. As I mentioned, I found this men's group. I was led to this men's group right after all this happened. And I had men put into my life who were willing to respond, who were willing to run into the fire that was my life at that time. That's what Friday Morning Men's Fellowship is designed for. Gentlemen, I pray that you have those men at your table. Men that will run into the fire when you're in need. Holy Spirit, I trust that you're putting it on these men's hearts right now, the relationships that they need to rekindle or renew, that will be those relationships. But furthermore, gentlemen, we have a calling and a duty to be those men who respond, who will run into the fire of our brothers around us. Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, not because He didn't know He wasn't going to raise Lazarus from the dead, not because He didn't know where Lazarus was going, but because He loved that family so dearly. And He was with them in their pain and their suffering and their grief. And He loved them so much that He was so moved because He loved them that He wept with them. We have the biblical example of Job's friends that when they heard of the devastation and ruin that was Job's life, they came from far away. And when they saw Job, they tore his clothes, their clothes, they covered themselves with ashes, and they simply sat with him, crying for 7 days. Not saying a word, simply being with Him. We don't have to have the right words to say. We simply have to show up and be with people. Because Christ commands us that no greater love is a man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I do not believe that's always a sacrifice of death, but that we would show up and give of ourselves when people are in need. Because, gentlemen, I promise you two things. If you respond in those times, I promise you, you'll experience pain. I promise you will hurt with them. You will weep with them. You will feel their heartbreak. But I also promise you, you will make an eternal impact on those men. Will you respond with bravery and valor and courage when you're called? The last gift that I received is more one that I learned, and it's to be able to give the presence of myself, my true, transparent an authentic self. Gentlemen, I feel entirely unqualified to be here in front of you. I am no titan of industry. I am no pillar of my community. I am wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I am a man who's rebuilding every area of my life. I'm rebuilding myself emotionally. I'm rebuilding myself physically. I learned that I eat and drink my feelings, and I put on 40 pounds in the last 5 years. I've lost 10 of it recently, so I'm heading in the right direction. I'm rebuilding my career. I'm trying to figure out dating in my 40s. I'm trying to figure out how to raise my son to love Jesus, and I have no idea what I'm doing. And if I'm honest, when I lay in my bed at night, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do it. But gentlemen, if we believe that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and we can't be honest with ourselves, we can't be honest with the men that we sit across from at our tables, then what are we doing? What are we doing? I didn't know that for 36 years. I was a grown adult. I should have been able to figure this out a lot sooner, despite the circumstances that forced it. But since that time, I'm doing all that I can to live out Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, where throughout this time and years of suffering, I kept crying out to the Lord, please let these things change. Please let my circumstances be different. Please solve my problem. And his constant refrain was, my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. Because my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so the rest of my life, I'm simply trying to live out the continuation of Paul's words, where therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Gentlemen, I know you've experienced that power of Christ, but some of you, it's been years since they've had that. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would renew these men's hearts. Let them experience the power of Christ on you. And Paul continues, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Gentlemen, every person that you meet, every person in this room is in one of three categories. They're either coming out a season of deep, dark despair, they're about to walk into a season of deep, dark despair, or they are right smack dab in the middle of it. And with a room of this size and the men who are listening on online, I know there are people in that third category. I pray that you would receive the gift that is the presence of our Heavenly Father. I pray that you would surround yourself with men who would respond, who are willing to run into the fire. That you would be a man who would respond when called. And I pray that you would give the gift of yourself. Will you lead men by giving all of yourself? Gentlemen, I was asked to share my story, and I'm merely sharing but a chapter and just some of the highlights of that chapter. I don't really like how my story began, and I have absolutely no idea how my story is going to end. All I know is to give all of myself to Christ. That He is in me and I in Him. And I pray that He gives me the ability to live the rest of my life so that this testimony remains true. I thank you for your time here today. Mark wanted to share a word.